Now, the first I'd like to mention, I'm speaking on God. Who is God? And as much as I can, draw a picture of actually Jehovah. I'm speaking of Jehovah God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may I also say, my Father. He is my Father. Amen. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's referred to as our God and our Father also. Now, there are some peculiarities that we find, some differences between Jehovah and the other two members of the Godhead. God said there's three members of the Godhead. In heaven there are three that bear record, not two, not one. But there are three. Now, there are three not to be worshipped individually or separate. That's the reason why the three is one. Like husband and wife, how many are they? One puts a hat on, one puts a skirt on, high heel shoes, the other put boots on, and the other shades. But they're one. Each one has a peculiarity of their own. As 12 disciples, all of them had different kind of colored hats and all went 12 different directions, but they were one. How were they one? He said, Father, make them one like we. We are one. But I'm not preaching on the Godhead this morning. I'm preaching on Jehovah God. I'm talking about God. The world today, if you go to anywhere in the world and talk about it, said, you know God. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know God. May not know something about the coming of Jesus or the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of the flesh and a million other things. But just come on, God and the devil, heaven and hell, four things everybody knows something about. Now, how many times is the Word of God mentioned in the Bible? The word, how many times is God just the word God? Several thousand. You can open up anywhere. Here it is right here. Here it is right here. Here it is right here. Just any number of places. I can just turn anywhere I open up and you see God. There's God right there. First thing I looked at. Here's God right there. First thing. Any page open is God, 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 God. Well, we ought to know something about God. Now, we want to describe him. Now, a lot of folk have a wrong concocted theory and an idea of what God is. They think God is just everywhere. He is that. But he's got enough of himself that he collects himself together one time and he can say, here I am, look at me. While God is everywhere, yet he can be in a certain place and speak to you and say, hello. He can wipe tears from your eyes. I want you to follow me now. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is everywhere, and you never can get anywhere to say, boy, I'm out of his sight now. I can do things, and he'll never know it. Oh, yes, he does. Why? There is a contact in space, no matter where you go to the outposts of the regions of space, and God is there. You go to the very bowels of hell, and brother, you can't do nothing there but what God knows it. He is ever present, and I don't have to worry because God's with me. Somebody said, do you feel what I feel? Yes, do you feel what I feel? What I feel is greater than that other thing you're feeling. If God be for you, who can be against you? I'm talking about God. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything, and he has all power. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is everywhere, omnipresent, omnipotent, and there is no power but what God has. Now, God doesn't have to depend on anything for his existence. Nothing is a threat to God. God has seen to it, even though Lucifer failed and failed him and fouled up, you know, and God gave him great power, and he still has great power, he has never one second been a threat to God's existence. He saw to it that he had a hell for the devil up his sleeve, and the devil didn't know anything about it. So God has all power. Now, somebody said, well, now, Brother Hibbert, I'm glad you're getting that straightened out, because I thought it was Jesus that had all power. Well, let me tell you something. Pharaoh had all power in Egypt. And then he brings a fellow up to him by the name of Joseph. And he said, Joseph, I like you. I've checked on you. You have proved yourself, son. And the Spirit of God is in you. And I'm going to make you head over all Egypt. And there's nobody going to do anything unless you're the doer of it. I want you to be head over everything. Leave my wife out and me. But I'm going to make you head over everything. I'm going to give you my ring here and my chariot. And boy, go to it. You're the head over everything. You mean I got power over everything in Egypt? Said yes. And he steps a few steps. And do you think he turned around and said, well, Pharaoh, I guess that leaves you without anything if you give me all power in Egypt. No, he said, I have all power in Egypt. And it happens to be that power enables me to make you power and give you power over Egypt too. So when God gave Christ all power in heaven and earth, because he did, there's a day he didn't have it. You say, oh, yes, he always had it. No, he didn't. When somebody gives you something, and it really gives you something, that means you don't have it before they give it to you. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me of my Father. Though he has given me all power in heaven and earth, yet he is still greater than I am. So between the two, we don't have anything to worry about. I haven't brought in the third one yet. We've still got a spare tire. Not referring to him as a tire, but we've still got a spare. But he doesn't lose his power when he gave the power to his son, because he had power to give him all power. Meaning this, there is no power or nothing that poses as a threat or a power that can come against your power, because I give you supremacy over all authority and power. And Jesus said, I'm going to take my kids down there, and I'm going to give them power.
Hallelujah.
Over all the power of the
enemy.
And he said, by the way, nothing shall by any means hurt.
That's what he said.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about God. Now, we found out that he's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He has all power, and he is everywhere. When you think I'm by myself, you're not. He's there. He's there. Remember, I'm talking about God. Now, he has all power, and he is present everywhere. And at the same time, while he is present, and while he know, and the last one is his knowledge. It takes in God being everywhere, God having all power, and the other attribute of God is that he knows everything, and there is nothing you can dig up and say, God doesn't know this. You can dig down in the ground and get a little animal that is much smaller than the smallest creature that we can see with our human eye, and get it out and put it under a microphone, under a microscope, and you can take him and look at him. He's got 2,186 legs. You can reach in with an intricate appliance and a pincher, and just take off one little tiny leg of that creature that's got all those legs that you can't see with an eye, and then ask God how many legs he's got. He said he's got so many, had so many legs, and you just pull one of them off, and he's got so many less. You say, well, why does he fool with little things like that? Because nothing can come up against him and say, you don't know that. He knows everything. Now, he knows how many hairs you had in your head yesterday, But no doubt the number has changed today, and God's got 3 billion people on earth that's changing the numbers of the hairs of their head. But God knows right now how many hairs you got in your head. You say, where'd you get that information out of the thing called the book? God knows the numbers of the hairs of our head. And so you might as well quit. There's no use in trying to keep anything from Him. He knows all about it. And don't ever be guilty of saying, now, Lord, if you don't mind, let me explain it to you. Explaining something to God. Jesus said He didn't need to listen to man testify. He said He knew what is in man. He knew what is in him. I'm talking about God. With these three things, you've got it made. He knows everything. He is everywhere, so He's there. He has all power. And then we can talk about the nature of God. Now, when we think of God, there is a God somewhere. He's everywhere. But yet, in His person, there is a place where you could walk up and Jesus and the angel would say, that's the Father right there. That's Him. Though He projects Himself and there's no place to where He does not put His presence, yet that's Him right there. And then you'd look and you'd say, hoo, 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 hoo. I don't see nothing. Well, that's Him right there. You see this kind of this glow? Well, that's God. Is that all of it? Well, Jesus, how come when I look at you, you're not a because you're the identical image of His person. You're supposed to be just like Him. And that's the way Jesus would be. He'd be a bit of and that's all we'd see of Jesus. You'd have to say, I guess He's there. Jesus got feet and got toes on His feet. He's got hair. He's got a nose. He's got a mouth. He's got an ear. And He's got every faculty of man. And so is God. Now you'll say, all right, let's see God. Now, if God is man, if God is God, now a God that made the world and made the huge worlds, and even there's one planet out there so big that you could take this world and take the sun and take the 9 planets that circle around the sun, including Neptune. And Uran, and all the 9 planets, and think of that big circle that they make. You could take all of the 9 planets in their circling, and put them on the inside of one of the great huge stars out there, and still have room enough to left to put some more in there. That's how big even one of the things made, and He made it just like that. Now, when we think of the unbelievable greatness of God, He sits in the heavens, and heaven is His throne, and He takes the earth that's 25,000 miles around it, and He pulls it up like that, and He takes and puts His foot on it, and the earth is His footstool. You'd say, well, when I come to God, now in reality, do you look way up there several hundred thousand miles and say God's sitting in heaven and His earth is His footstool, and is God that kind of a God? Well, this is a descriptive trying to describe the greatness of God. But when it comes down to intelligent information, what He looks like, I'm going to tell you exactly what God looks like. If you'd go to heaven right now and look at Him, and there it'd be. You say, would we ever see Him? Oh, yes, if you make it to heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will. They'll do what? They'll see God. And not only that, said, I'm not going to turn around and let them see the hind part. Like it had Moses said, you're down here, son. You haven't made it yet. And he said, I've just got to show you my back part. But when you get to heaven, you're going to look at my face. It says there in Revelation, they shall see His face. I'm talking about God, the information we get out of the book. Now, we find that how tall is God? How do you reckon that He's about 45 or 50 feet high? And He has a very kind face, but he's a great, about 50 foot high. No, if God said to me, son, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you 50 feet high. Uh-huh. I'd say, Lord, why are you going to do that? Aren't you thrilled? No. Well, son, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you to where you'd have to reach up and tiptoe to get the first joint on a duck's leg. Boy, that'd be short. And make you perfect. You'll enjoy everything just like you do, only I'm going to make you little like that. I'd say, Lord, why are you going to do that? Yeah. And then he'd leave me by myself and said, okay, just let it roll over in your mind. When I come back, tell me what you want me to do. I'd say, leave me alone. Let me be just like I am. Yeah, let me alone. Amen. Just like I am. Now, how tall is God? I'm going to tell you how tall he is. Can you imagine how tall Adam was? Can you imagine the generation? You say, well, back there in Adam's time, and back there in the Bible, they were great big giants. Oh, they were not. The only reason they called them giants is because they were abnormal. They had grown out of the normal perspective. They had left the human standard, and that's why they called them giants. Otherwise, we wouldn't call them giants. They'd said they're normal people. But the normal people wasn't giants. Only now and then, a freak of nature, they made them giants. They were made giants by a freak of nature. But the normal route of a person was about 6 foot tall. I said 6 foot tall. When Christ was here, every scripture in the Bible teaches us in every way, if he had been an 8.5 foot fellow coming down the street, the Bible would be full about his height and how tall he was. Now, you say, now there's Saul. He was a little fellow. Oh, no, it wasn't, because he was a little bit taller than the ordinary person. The Bible tells us that he was tall. But because Jesus was a normal person and fit right along with the thousands that he rubbed elbows with, and he said, that's exactly how God looks. He's the image of God. He said, I am the express image, like two black-eyed peas. I am made, and the only genes that came, that gave me life, came from my Heavenly Father. I don't have an earthly dad. I have a Heavenly Father. And we take after each other. My boy looks like me and walks like me, and he's about my same height. And Jesus Christ said, I am the express image of his person. So we find we know what he looks like. He's about 6 foot tall. And then we find that every descriptive that talked about him, it was just like an ordinary man. Now, God can project himself in different perspectives. He showed John that his eyes were as a flame of fire. That was only descriptive. It was symbolic. Because Jesus, you go up, he won't have eyes of fire. You know what he's going to have? Say, well, what kind of eyes he got now? Tells you right there in the Bible what kind of eyes he got now. It said this same Jesus. Right. When they looked at him, they said, and it was the same Christ. Said, I want you to feel me, hold him aside, my fingers. Said, here I am. And he walked among them. Yes. Now, when he walked along the way, I'm going to get back on God, but I'm talking about the same thing with God. He said, I don't want them to know who I am. So he just fixed it where they couldn't tell who he was. But that wasn't his eternal state. He just wanted them to see him in that perspective. But immediately he went right back to his natural, and they saw him as he was, and they knew it was Jesus. When the angel came down to let Peter out, they didn't see him. They went right by the guard. Guard didn't see him at all. Well, now that angel could be seen, but he had power to not let him see it. Even demon-possessed people. The devil has power to give witches things like that. It's unbelievable. But what I'm talking about is God now. Now, God, his image, he has every part of man. Now, when he got ready to make man, as I said, he made Adam, and that was the standard. And it's been it ever since. And God and Jesus was talking. Because the Bible lets us know that the angels did not create man. It was God and the Father, Jesus Christ and the Father. And it said, let's make man. Are we going to make man? Now, let me see. Should we Should we take him and, let me see, should we fix him to where, you know, there's a germ kingdom that functions just as perfect as this that you can't even see? You know it? Because we can't see them, doesn't sign they're not there. And they have a way of living. And there's little old tiny bugs. There's little old tiny things, very small. I'm sure he could have made us about the first joint of my little finger. He could have made us that tall. Been very pretty. But now he'd have had a problem trying to have fellowship with Adam. Coming down there and say, honey, climb up on the end of my toe down there. No, sir. But he said, should we make him to where he'll be about 200, 300, 400 feet high so all the animals will scream and run when they see him? And they, you know, but here's what they did. They said, I'll tell you what, let's make him in our image after our likeness. Amen. When we make him and he stands on his feet, he'll be just like us.
Amen.
And that's exactly what I am, a man in the image of God. Now, you can say what you want to. You've left the book when you make him anything else but that. Now, you say, oh, but the Bible said God is spirit. And I know that Bible says that, and ever since I've said that, I can just, you know, like that. And you say he's there, but just feel for him, you know, he's God's spirit. Wait a minute. Am I going to stand up here and tell you that God's not spirit? If I did, I'd say, well, God said he's spirit, but I said he's not, so he's not. So there you are. I'm the one that's doing the talking and not God. God's doing talking, said God's spirit, and that's what he is. You ever stop to think that J.C. Hibbert is spirit? 100% J.C. Hibbert is spirit? My flesh, my body, my tongue, my leg, my hips, my kidneys, and my backbone, and my stomach, and my lungs, and my brain, and all that stuff is not 1/1,000,000th J.C. Hibbert. It's only the body J.C. Hibbert lives in. When I take off, how much of me takes off? 85%, 90, 95, 98, 99, 100%. Yes. Paul said, when I leave this body, I am absent. Me, 100%. Yes, I am absent. Amen. I am there. What am I? I am spirit. My spirit has a body to dwell in. God made a body for it to express myself. How could I be up here? Now, everything you've heard thus far would come from me, from a spirit. But I was capable of making a noise, but I didn't have a mouth, you know. But I was able to make a noise, and you couldn't see nobody. I wouldn't have a congregation, because if there wasn't a window around here, you'd make one. I don't want to listen to nobody talking to me. But I don't know. I said, come on, show yourself. Step out here where I can feel you. Now, if I went in to hug my wife and express myself to her and say, honey, I love you, and something there said, honey, I love you, and you had come from a space and a floating something, she'd say, honey, I know you do, but just go on out. Leave me alone. You excite me. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, God is a spirit, but don't deprive God of a body. I'm a spirit, but don't deprive me of a body. What does he mean? He said, God is spirit, therefore worship God in spirit. Meaning, God's not a machine. God is not a hunk of gold. God is a spirit. And with your spirit, do you worship God with your flesh, with your arms, with your body? No, you worship God with your spirit. So God is spirit. And so, because it says that, it didn't say God is a spirit, period, and he doesn't have a body. It said he does have a body. God sat on the throne. God sat on a throne. And he had a book in his right hand. Now, if anybody's holding a book in their right hand, I'd hate to see someone out there talking to me with a book and that book was moving around. Looked like it's in somebody's hand and couldn't see the hand. But the Bible says in the Word, one sat on the throne as God the Father, not Jesus. God the Father. One sat on, and the likeness of him that sat on the throne was the likeness of a man.
That's right. Amen.
Jehovah, God the Father, the God I'm talking about, looked just like a man sitting on the throne. He had hair, he had eyes, he had a mouth, he had a tongue, he had ears, and he had a hand, he had feet, he had a body. He was sitting there with a book in his right hand. Now that's the description of God all the way through the Bible. Now, it says that as he sat there, the angel said, who's able to go up to God the Father and take the book out of his right hand? You say it didn't say God the Father. Well, it was God the Father. said God. And then some will say, oh, yes, there's just one set on throne. There's only one. Well, that's true. One God compiled the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But the angel said, who's able to take the book out of the right hand of God? And they said, there's no man on earth, no man in heaven, and nobody under the sea. Nobody is found nowhere that is capable and worthy of going up and taking the book. And old John said, I begin to weep because I don't know what is in that book. It was sealed. It is the book of Revelation that we can enjoy now, but it was sealed. And no man is able to open the book. And he began to cry. And he said, oh, don't weep, John. Don't weep. Behold, the Lion.
Oh, hallelujah.
The tribe of Judah.
Glory.
The root of David. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Said, I looked and I saw one likened unto a lamb. And he comes up to God the Father that sits on the throne with the book in his right hand. And he walks up and takes the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. And as he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, it says, the 24 elders, the four beasts, and the redeemed of all the earth that had been raptured, you see, it says they fell down before the Lamb. There is nobody on the face of the earth ever able to carry the title Lamb but Jesus. John said, behold, God's Lamb. They fell down before the Lamb, not the one on the throne. He had just come and taken a book out of the right hand of him that had the likeness of a man. He had feet and legs and a stomach, and he had chin, and he had hair, and he had every part of him. And it said they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps of golden vials, which is full of odor, which is the prayers of the saints. And they said unto him, thou art worthy to take the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, and to loose the seals thereof, because thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us out of every nation, and every kindred, and every tongue, and every people. If you only got one out of each tongue, it'd be 600. That's 600 dialects. If there's only one. But there were thousands upon thousands out of all of them. So it said a number that no man could number. They fell down before the Lamb and said, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain. Has God the Father ever been slain? Did they say the one sitting on the throne had been slain? No. They said, you're able to take the book out of the right hand of him and open it, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood. I asked a person one time, believes only one personality. I said, when I first said one sat on the throne, I said, who is that? I said, that's Jesus. I said, that's good. Put that down. I don't want you to forget that. So then I said, be sure to get it down. That's Jesus. And then I pulled Christ out of the corner, out of the closet where he's back there, the corner. It said, and here he come. And I said, here comes the Lamb. And I said, he walks up and takes the book out of the right hand of him who's Jesus. And when he takes the right hand, the book out of the right hand of him, who you say is Jesus, then all heaven falls down before this Lamb, comes and says, thou art worthy to take the book, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to our God by thy blood. About that time his head went under water.
Yes.
And when I got through, I said, now who is this coming up here that has died for us and spilt his blood and redeemed us to our God? And it says, and now we are kings and priests unto our God.
Yes.
I said, who is this that has been, that died and was slain for us? Well, that was Jesus. I said, yeah. Well, we've got two Jesuses around here then, haven't we? I don't find in the Bible where there's two Jesuses. I just find out where there's one Jesus, and he's at the right hand of God. I said, let's go ahead and tell the truth. This is the Father he's talking about all the time. That's the one he prayed to. That's the one he said, not my will but thine be done. That's the one he said, my Father's greater than I. That's the God he talked about. Said, didn't come of myself. Said, it was him. And said, that voice came from heaven. I wasn't a ventriloquist. That came from my Father.
Right.
He said, this is my Son.
Yes.
It's not my daddy. No, he said, it's my Son.
Uh-huh.
And that's my Father up there.
Right.
You see. And so we find that God is got a body just like we have. Only it's a glorified body, and it is such glory that a normal person in the flesh cannot ever see God and live. He dies when he sees him. He brought Christ down, and Christ can walk among us, and Christ will walk among us 1,000 years and be seen of people everywhere, just like he was when he came forth from the grave. You see, they couldn't say, "Whoa, we can't look at him because he's glorified." Oh, no. They could look at him. They walked among, handled him, and he sat down, eat fish with them, walked in time and time again. Then he had a parade, 500 got together. He talked to them, and they all walked down through the streets of Jerusalem. They said, who's this? That's Jesus. He's raised from the dead. And here he walked, carrying 500 out there on the hill. And while they got out there, they all looked right straight at him, and he talked to them with a glorified body. And then he went back. But no man can look at God and live. No man. But after we all are glorified and everybody's glorified and there's no natural person on the new earth, then it says God himself came down from heaven and was with Christ. Then it said God and the Lamb shall dwell among them, and they on earth shall see his face, and his name will be in their forehead. And God will be God, and they will be his sons and their daughters. And God, the Father, and the Son will dwell forever and forever, and God will be there. Now, that's exactly the picture. In heaven right now, there's a God sitting on a throne. By himself? I see two on the throne. I see one at his right hand. Who's the one on the right hand? Jesus. Jesus, the one I'll talk about Wednesday. Now, who is this on the left? It's God the Father, Jehovah. And he says all the way through, he said, "Son, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." Paul said, "Unto which of the angels said he at any time, come up here on the throne with God the Father and sit down by me?" Paul said, when at any time did God ever say to an angel, "Sit thou at my right hand"? But under the Son, he saith, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make all thine enemies thy footstool." And brother, you've got to put yourself under Christ or God will put you under there, because he's going to do it. Now, I have drawn a picture of who God is, what he looks like, where he is. He's not spirit. I mean, he is not an invisible something. He is spirit, as I am spirit. Every human being that God made, he made them a spirit, and then they dwell in a body that is produced by a man. This earthly body that is produced by man goes back to dust, and the spirit goes back to God who made it, and then God assigns that spirit to a body if they're lost in hell, and if we're saved, we go to paradise, and we get a glorified body, and our body shall be formed and shapen, likened unto his glorified body. So, you say, "Well, now, is any more about God?" Well, I'll tell you a little bit more. God said, "I'm going to liken several things unto me. I'll refer to these things as unto me." First of all, our God is fire. A consuming fire. He has to be a fire to be consuming. So it said, our God is a consuming fire. Somebody said, "Oh, there it is. That's all there is to it. God's just fire." Brother, he is a whole gobble of things. He is fire, and so are we. And he makes his ministers a flaming fire. Yes, sir. I can eat biscuits, even though I am a flaming fire. I can sit down and talk to a kid and nuzzle him up and kiss his cheek and still be a flame of fire.
Hallelujah.
I can tell you I love you with tenderness, yet there is a flaming fire. We can change the substance of things.
Yes,
that's what fire does.
That's right.
That's all it's supposed to do, just change the substance of things. You turn this thing over to fire, it wouldn't look like that at all in a few minutes. Fire said, "Just let me have it, I'll change it." And brother, God said, "Just let me have them, I'll change them." God changes. Brother, we think, "Oh, it can't be changed." You put yourself in God's hand, he'll change it. So let's take the three things that we're going to use as the symbol of God and put it out here so you can turn and look at it. Let's take a hunk of fire, just a block of fire, and put it out here now, just a hunk of fire, and put it there. Now, that's one of them. And then wind. Let's just get a hunk of wind about 3 foot high and about 2 foot square and put a hunk of wind here. And then another, it says that he is love. God is love.
Oh, you know, there's heaven. But, you know, God is just everywhere and anything lovely. He's love.
He's love too, but you ought to see him when he loses a temper. You say he can't. He has a right to do it, and he does it. He said when he gives way to his wrath. He said he woke up as a man drunk on wine. And he said he shouted. Whoo, shouted. And he smote his enemies in their hinder part and put them to a perpetual reproach. It wasn't an act of love, brother. It was an act of vengeance. You say, I thought God is love. He is. But he's something else too. God is an extremist. He said, put me down. I am an extremist. Never at any time was I three ways to Israel. I was either one or the other. I was the goodness and severity of God. Behold, therefore, the goodness, love, mercy, tenderness, long-suffering. Behold, therefore, the goodness, the severity. The goodness and the severity of God. Who shall drink of the wine of the wrath of his indignation? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power? Who shall be punished day and night and have no rest day or night? The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of his indignation. Israel only knew God two ways. In his wrath, when they sinned, he sent them into captivity. He cut them off and let the enemy come in. And he said, you'll beg when the rest of them are eating. You'll be hungry and you'll run when a leaf drops. When nobody runs after you, you'll run. But he said, when you're with me, he said, thank God there's nobody going to calls you to run. One will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. You'll be bold as a lion. You're not running from nobody. You don't borrow from nobody. You don't have to beg from anybody. I'll take sickness from the midst of thee, and I, my God, will give you all these good things. But if you depart from me and leave me, I'll cause you to earn money and put it in holes, and I'll take a scissor from heaven, and I'll cut the bottom of your britches, your pocket out. And when you put money in it, it'll drop through because you can't hold it because you sinned. But he said, when you do, he said, I'll bless your store. I'll bless your flock. I'll bless your cattle. I'll multiply you, and you'll never have a want. I'll see to it that you'll be the head and not the tail. You'll never be in the middle. You'll be not the tail. The world will be in the tail, but I'll give you the cream of the crop. Am I right? So that's the kind of person this God I'm telling you about. I only know God two ways: when he whips the tar out of me, or when he loves the daylights out of me. I want to keep him to her like my daddy when I'd have to get a whipping. And he'd stand there, those big old muscles would flinch, you know, and that long switch. They got off that hedge about 4 foot long. With a lot of them little bumps, he took the leaves off of. Those leaves pat it. That makes it soft. But he took all the leaves off and left those little old bumps where the leaves were, you know. And when he pulled it across with that big old arm and it hit my tender side here, brother, it left mark. Yes. And I found out that if I pulled back from that and got out where the full blow of the end of that switch, brother, I got it. But if the closer I'd get to him, real close, I'd hug him and scream out loud, Daddy, I love you.
Yeah.
Daddy, I love you. He could only whip me with his wrist. He couldn't whip me with his arm because I was already here. If I got way out, it'd be his arm. But he'd take the wrist.
Uh-huh.
I found out he couldn't do as near as much with the wrist as he could with the arm. So if it's getting the blow from God, get up close to him and start calling him Dad. I love you, Dad. Yeah. I love you, Dad.
Amen.
And brother, I'll tell you, it'll soon be over.
That's good. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Praise God. So, is there any more about God? We have a hunk of love, and we have a hunk of fire, and we have a hunk of air. Now, how in the world are you going to pick them up and carry them up to some scientist and say, here, I've got a hunk of wind here. No, wind comes, if anybody in the world, they say there's no such thing as wind. Oh, I've heard of that. I never did see it. You show me, get me a square foot of it and show me wind and let me look at it. There's nobody with an ounce, with a brain of a goober that'll tell you that there's not any wind. A kid that flies a kite knows there's got to be wind. Now, what is it? Wind, you may not see it, but it's there. And brother, when it comes in force, it sure can mess up things. And it tells you, I've been here. Don't you say I haven't been here. Brother, when God comes sometime and turns you upside down and strips you, he may not have come in and said, I knocked at the door and, hello, this is God. I've come to see you and all that stuff. But, brother, when he comes and goes, you know he's been there. And when you're sick as a horse laying there with all kind of tumors and everything else, and God comes on, brother, he comes on and leaves. You don't hear him say, I am God. I'm going to say hocus pocus, presto change. I'm going to massage you. No, nothing like that. Uh-huh. But when God comes and leaves, you know he's been there.
That's right. All right.
That's wind.
Thank God.
Take in a hunk of love and say, look here, this is my wife's love. I want you to examine it and tell them about it. What is it? Love. How in the world are you going to take a hunk of love anywhere? Would anybody here dare stand up and say, I don't believe there's any such thing as love? Oh, I don't believe there's any. Brother, I believe it. Oh, yeah. I believe I'm capable of loving. I'm capable of taking it. I said, I'm capable of taking it. Somebody said, oh, I wouldn't say that. You're dumb. You're dead. Anybody don't like to be loved, you're dead. You ought to die. I want to be loved. I want to be loved by everybody. I want everybody here to love me. And if you don't love me, I'm a little bit disappointed. I want you to love me. And I know when love is love. And I know when it's not. When stuff was something else. But love is love. And God said, I'm love. You can't see it. You can't take it and say, I've got pocketed full of it. My wife's a little low. Just, the gauge is down just a little bit. I went downtown to the love shop and got me a pound and a half of love, and I'm gonna give it to my wife. Who ever heard of you bringing a pound of love home to your wife? You can't do it. You can't put your finger on it. Doctors can't lay it out on a table and cut it apart. It is something, brother, that exists that you don't see, but when it comes, it's there, and when it leaves, there it leaves an effect. What'll cause you to wade through fire? Love. What'll cause you to climb a mountain? It's love. What'll cause you to leave a bunch of kids screaming and get on a boat and go across to India and stay there 3 years? It's love. What'll cause a mother to wade herself into the flame of fire to bring someone out? It's love. Love will do something that nothing else on earth. It is there. And anybody's a fool to say there's no such thing as love. It leaves its effect. God said, I'm fire. Said, I'm wind. And I'm love. And praise God. I don't doubt it a bit in the world. In heaven one day we'll see him. We'll be able to walk up and talk to him. Praise God. But on this life, why we don't see him walk up to us every day or so and say, hello, this is God. How are you getting along? I'm going to do something for you now. No. But when he passes by, when he answers your prayer, he is like these three elements that I mentioned. When he said the day of Pentecost was coming, they'd have said it's a bunch of hobo. It's a bunch of stuff from witchcraft. It's this, that, and the other. But everybody had to bow down and acknowledge the God of the universe as a God of fire, as a God of wind. That's right. And on the day of Pentecost, God threw the switch, and down come the Holy Ghost. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire. And that old blaze just burned and didn't hurt nobody. And it come as a sound of a rushing and a mighty wind. It did. And nobody could say, did you hear anything? But they heard it. And when it is all over, they were different kind of people. They wasn't afraid of nobody. They busted the door open and went down there and said, hearken unto me. Uh-huh. These are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. Stand on your feet and let me tell you what it is. This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. You with cruel hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, hung him on a tree, put him in the grave, but God raised him from the dead, and he ascended at the right hand of God. He has shed forth this which you now see and you hear. And now, though you did it through ignorance, he said, now repent. And they were pricked in the heart and said, brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized in Jesus. Because he's the one that died for. That's the one you hate. You love God. You say you love God and you accept the Holy Ghost, but you don't like Jesus, God's Son. Now, you got to be baptized.
Amen.
And go down. And in the water, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you've got to take Son.
Yes.
Because it's through Christ we have redemption.
Amen.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and your children, to them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we find on the day of Pentecost, he introduced himself as the God of fire, as the God of wind. And so we find when we get to heaven, we may find and know more about him. But this morning, I think that we have drawn a picture. You ought to know who God the Father is. And any preconceptions of what you think God is, be sure it's the Word, not part of it. Some people has got a conception of God. He's a spirit. That's all. What have you ever seen? Just spirit. He doesn't have a body. Because they took one little scripture and ignored all the rest of the Bible, and they'd taken it out of its setting. Forgot to read the next part where it says we're spirit too. Man is spirit. God is spirit. They worship him in spirit. Said, if you wasn't spirit, how are you going to worship God? Whoever heard of my hand said, look, I want you to worship God. Go ahead. Worship God. I'm tired. I've been praying and talking and all that. Worship God. Hand just fall down. It wouldn't do nothing. I'd say to my leg, you're big enough. I use my tongue all the time, praise God. Go ahead, leg, and worship God. Wouldn't that be silly? Say my left hip here. Say, hip, you worship God. Stomach, you worship God. Whoever heard of that? None of that's going to worship God. My spirit on the inside is going to take this physical body. I'm going to throw those hands up. The tears will course down. My mouth will open up. My tongue will make sentences. I'll worship God, but it's the spirit inside. What's it doing? It's contacting a God on the other end of the line that has a body. He hears because he's got ears. He's got a mind, and he's got a body, and he looks just like you. Say, what's God look like now again? He looks like me. When you see me, you know, he looks like me. That means, you know, we say, well, what does a monkey look like? Well, a monkey looks like a monkey. I don't have a tail hanging from a tree, but a monkey does. And if I said I look like a kangaroo and you saw a kangaroo, you'd say, look at it, look at me. There's not much of a resemblance there. One's got a long neck, about 8 foot tall, and little old head at the end, two ears up there, and big old bally eyes, and great big old long skinny legs, four of them. But it says man is made in the image of God. And God, when he made him, said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. But Christ was his son and the express image. Have you ever seen two twins? We got two of them coming here, Connie and Bonnie. Now, the mama knows the difference. She'll say, Connie, so-and-so. And the daddy will say, Connie, which one of you is Connie? You say, oh, that's not true. Ask him. He told me. He said, Brother Hibbert, at times, I don't know who they are. They sound alike. They look alike. They have hair alike. And they have expressions alike. The only thing is one is more aggressive, and one is the spokesman, and he usually goes by that. Mama, let's have biscuits for supper. The next sound is an echo. Mama, let's have biscuits for supper. That's Connie. Bonnie. Mama, let's have biscuits.
Yeah.
Hello, Brother Hibbert. How are you? Hello, Brother Hibbert. How are you? That's Connie. Bonnie is the one. See? But the daddy, their express image. Jesus Christ said, I'm the express image of my Father. Take a good. That's why he said to Peter, he was talking, said, show us the Father. Well, I said, when you see me, you see the Father. Have I been so long time with you? Why, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And that's the reason why some people say, well, he's the Father, he's everything. He is the Son. He has a Father. He is the express image of his Father. And so I have talked to you this morning about Jehovah, God the Father. that's spoken of in every page in the Bible, God. I'll talk about the Holy Ghost tomorrow morning. Praise God. Let's stand and raise our hand and thank God we have a Heavenly Father.